WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Could some parts of Virginia begin opening up for business earlier than others? In addition to businesses, the governor's closure order also applies to churches, and that has led to a legal challenge. And local midwives say they're seeing a surge of interest in out-of-hospital births as people avoid hospitals out of fear of the new coronavirus. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, May 7th. Governor Ralph Northam said Wednesday that some parts of Virginia may keep coronavirus-related restrictions in place longer than the rest of the state. The governor said areas of Virginia hit hard by the virus, such as Northern Virginia and the Eastern Shore, may extend bans on certain business openings and public gatherings. Northam announced earlier this week that he expects Virginia to begin the first phase of reopening businesses on May 15th, when an executive order mandating certain types of non-essential business closures expires. The governor, a Democrat, has come under increasing pressure from Republican lawmakers and others to reopen the state, as some other southern states have done. Healthcare professionals, including nurses, doctors, and dentists, can get a free fit test for N95 masks in the Charlottesville area today and Friday. A press release from the Charlottesville Area Office of Emergency Management says the Virginia National Guard will provide the fit testing. It's meant to ensure that each N95 mask forms a tight seal on the wearer's face to protect from coronavirus. The fit testing is by appointment only, and those interested can schedule an appointment by calling 434-297-8400. Well, Virginia may be on the verge of opening up again soon, but for now, churches across the Commonwealth remain closed. And as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, that's led to a legal challenge.
When the Lighthouse Fellowship Church on Chincoteague Island opened its doors on Palm Sunday and allowed 16 people inside to worship, the pastor was in violation of the governor's executive order for people to stay at home. That led to a citation and ultimately a lawsuit now working its way through the court system, even as state leaders consider how they're going to start easing restrictions. Carl Tobias at the University of Richmond Law School says the case pits freedom against safety.
Traditionally, we have said that executives have enormous power to protect people in public health situations where they might be seriously ill or die. So that's an important interest, of course, and so is religious freedom to worship. So I think there's real tension there, and I don't think there's a clear answer.
One voice calling for the governor to start opening churches is Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. He says the governor should take a regional approach rather than acting statewide.
Down here, the hardware store parking lots are packed on the weekend. I mean, it looked like at the local Lowe's that there was a rock concert going on in there on Saturday. You've got lots of people there. Why is that not dangerous? Why did the Commonwealth decide to keep open the liquor stores?
For now, the liquor stores are open and the churches remain closed as judges consider the fate of the governor's stay-at-home order. The governor said Monday that churches would be accommodated in Phase 1 reopening guidelines, though so far he hasn't been specific about what that would entail. I'm Michael Pope.
Time now for the latest installment of our series from Virginia Public Radio, answering listener questions about COVID-19.
This is the COVID-19 Minute. Expert answers to your questions. The new virus is known for damaging lungs, but a listener wonders if it can also cause heart trouble. We put that question to Mark Adams, the nurse manager of UVA's coronary care unit.
The coronavirus does do some unique damage to the interior of the heart muscle, and some patients have presented more with chest pain, heart attack-like symptoms than the respiratory symptoms that most people are focused on.
Of course, most cases of cardiac arrest still involve people with heart disease, and for those who have symptoms, the medical director of intensive care at UVA, Dr. Tyson Bell, wants everyone to know that emergency rooms are open.
If you are having severe symptoms for whatever reason, you should still seek out care. If you break your arm or you're in a car accident or if someone's having a heart attack or a stroke, we're not overwhelmed to the point that we can't take care of you.
Another listener worries about putting off routine tests and wonders how long it's okay to delay. At Virginia Commonwealth University, Dr. Gonzalo Behrman offers this advice.
You should certainly speak with your doctor so that you have a better sense of your risk for whatever condition is being screened. But generally, screening procedures such as mammograms, such as colonoscopies, are never urgent. Therefore, they can probably be delayed by 2 to 3 months without any negative consequences.
But what will happen when the pandemic has passed? Do Virginia hospitals and doctors' offices expect a traffic jam? We'll answer that question in our next report. I'm Sandy Hausman with the COVID-19 Minute.
Finally today, some people who would otherwise be fine with having a hospital procedure done are now avoiding the hospital out of fear of the novel coronavirus. That includes some expectant mothers, more of whom are turning to out-of-hospital births. WMRA's Jesse Nadler talks to local midwives about the surge of baby business and the challenges they face.
As of the first weekend in May, there were nearly 500 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Harrisonburg, according to the Virginia Department of Health. The city is among the regions of the state with the highest ratio of positive cases compared to population. This has led to an uptick in phone calls to midwife Misty Ward. She's the owner and clinical director of the Brookhaven Birth Center outside Harrisonburg. Over a single weekend, she says she received 6 calls from pregnant women seeking consultation. This is compared to about 2 consultations per month in normal times.
They are afraid to walk into a hospital where the exposure is so much greater than them being in the safety of their home or in a facility that has no sick people in it.
A decent percentage of callers are late transfers, meaning women in the third trimester who maybe were planning on a hospital birth. But given the city's recent spike of COVID cases, are now having second thoughts. Late transfers aren't ideal.
But, we're making exceptions due to COVID.
Late transfers leave little time to develop the relationship that is foundational to the midwifery model of care. It's why midwife and licensed physician Sarita Bennett of Winding River Birth Center in Charlottesville says she screens late transfers so carefully. She's looking not only for potential complications, but she also wants to make sure the client isn't coming to her based on fear of the hospital.
It's such a completely different model of care that you have to understand what it is you're choosing. If they're more running from the hospital than they are choosing out-of-hospital birth, then that can be a higher risk situation with more likelihood that they'll wind up in the hospital regardless.
Like other healthcare providers right now, midwives have put pandemic-specific protocols in place. More virtual visits, limiting the number of people in the birthing center, taking clients' temperatures before they come inside. Constant disinfection. Misty Ward again.
You know, we're having a really hard time getting basic cleaning supplies like I guess everybody's having this issue, but bleach and, masks. We actually just got 300 masks dropped off right before you called.
Ward says she's only doing home births right now on a case-by-case basis, preferring the more controlled environment of the birthing center.
So, there's more responsibility when you have a home birth.
Sarita Bennett again.
Anybody that's going to have a home birth with us is following those same kinds of isolation and decontamination protocols so that we're safe coming to them and they're safe with us coming into their environment. So it's a bit of a community effort for everyone to follow those.
It's one of the reasons why the American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend home births. They and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommend birth centers and, of course, hospitals as the safest bet. The preference by the medical establishment for hospital births does not surprise midwife Debbie Wong. She's with Nine Moons Midwifery in Charlottesville.
Well, they've never recommended it.
Wong welcomes the influx of interest.
I almost feel like, we should just welcome this. This is what we have been advocating for years.
Misty Ward wonders if this sudden interest will continue after the pandemic is over.
I think it's very interesting for me to see so many women having an interest in out-of-hospital birth now, and they have, this external motivator of a virus. But I'm wondering if after all of this is over, if home birth is going to become a little bit more mainstream, if women are going to realize, oh, wow, this safe option has always been here.
The main way that I get clients is word of mouth from other people that I've served. So the more people that have home births, the more people will be influenced to consider doing it as well.
One big change midwives want to see, more streamlined credentialing. Right now, some states recognize some credentials, others don't. It causes confusion and chaos as states such as New York, which has been hammered by the pandemic, try to bring in midwives from out of state to help with all the births. In her role as the president of the Midwives Alliance of North America, Sarita Bennett sees the problem.
So what a lot of people don't understand is that this consumer demand is difficult to meet in a climate where there are trade restrictions against midwifery, very much controlled by, you know, the people who say it's not safe when it is.
Time will tell if the pandemic is what ends up mainstreaming midwifery. For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
You can learn more about that story at WMRA.org and also on the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Thursday.